Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for including us in your plan. You do nothing by mistake. You do everything according to your plan, to the script that you and your wisdom have set forth. And Lord, we just thank you that you've included us in this plan and given us a script that we might walk out the will of God in our lives. Lord, we pray that all that we do and say will be a blessing to you and your people. That all that we do and say will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Are you ready? I have a question in my heart this morning, and it's kind of silly, but at the same time, it's kind of serious. And so you're probably looking at me, you that know me, are saying, well, he's on track, silly and serious, all together, one package. That does sound like me sometimes. But all morning, I've been saying, Lord, why? What do you need preachers for? And there's a lot of ways to answer that, but the answer that keeps coming up in me, why do we need preachers? It's because, well, we don't read the Bible and do it. If everyone would just read the Bible and do it, there would be no need for preachers. So evidently, one of the purposes that God has for me in the preach category, is to remind you to read the Bible and do it. Huh? Come on. Come on. Now, it's interesting to me that we haven't grown up enough to handle this without a preacher. I mean, we've been reminded by the preachers for centuries to read the Bible and do it, and we're still not getting it, so God brings up the preacher to remind us, read the Bible and do it. Are you guys with me this morning? I come up, you know, when I take a shower, you never know what's coming out of the faucet. But when I take a shower, I always get these questions or revelations or whatever you want to call them. And that's was what was in my shower this morning, what was in yours. Anyway, Ephesians 4:11, that's not in our notes, but Ephesians 4:11 says that God gives apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the saints, for the building up the body of Christ. And so preachers, as I'm putting everybody in the same basket, preachers are for building up the church and for teaching the church to do the work of the ministry. And so watch for ways to learn this morning to bring that into your lives to better do the work of the ministry God's called you to do. Amen. Anyway, that's all for free. It's not really part of the sermon. How many got a bulletin when you came in? You noticed the doctor checkup thing there? Yeah. Becky had reminded me, our daughter Becky, for you who don't know, my daughter Becky does all these. And she had reminded us a few days ago that if we could give her a heads up on what the sermon, next sermon is going to be about, she could line up the message in the bulletin to meet that. And so we did that this week. I gave her a few days ago this theme of being a spiritual checkup that you see in the bulletin. And so she did, followed that, and came up with a terrific message in a bulletin that fits my sermon. And most of the time we can do that. It's interesting how that even if we don't communicate, she usually comes up with something in the bulletin that the Holy Spirit drops in her heart that matches the sermon. It just almost always happens. But I guess this has been on my heart this week. Because this is my anniversary. Yesterday was my anniversary of open heart surgery. 1 year and counting. And that's a long story. But I'll show you the pictures on my phone later if you really want to see them. But 1 year ago this morning, I was still in ICU with all kinds of tubes. You know, I looked like a robot with all kinds of tubes coming in and out of me. And I had just passed through surgery yesterday afternoon. But it's changed my life, no doubt about it, and for the better. And I just praise God for bringing forth healing in my body in the way he did, by using the medical field and the beautiful people that were sent into my life to be a part of that. You know, you need to receive healing any way you can. Many times we receive healing by spending time with the Lord, or maybe coming in the prayer line to be prayed for at church, or having friends pray for us at home or at work or wherever. And many times we receive healing through the field of medicine. But get your healing any way you can, because you need to live to fight on. It's real important that you live to continue your fight, the good fight of faith. Amen? And so I appreciate my healing, even though it hurt when it happened. When they cut your chest open for 8 inches and freeze your heart with ice to stop it so they can work on it, you know, and things like that. And they use baling wire or something to tie me all back together. Anyway, fun stories, huh? But I never was one for checkups. Approximately 17 years ago, I had a checkup. And prior to that, it had been approximately 17 years before I had the last checkup. So in the last 34 years, I'd had 2 checkups. Now, only God knows, had I had more checkups more often, whether or not I would have still had heart surgery. But it's pretty obvious that if I would have had checkups on a regular basis, and if I would have done what the doctors said, I may not have ever had to have heart surgery. Now, if I read most people like I read myself, even if you're getting a checkup, you're probably not doing what the doctor said. And so next year you go for your next checkup, and then you'll pick and choose what the doctor recommended. And for the things that don't fit your lifestyle, you'll just push them out of the way and try not to remember them. Now, I find this same thing happens in church among Christians like us. We get our spiritual checkup and we hear what Dr. Jesus has to say, and we see his recommendations, and we go home and we meditate for about 3 seconds, and during those 3 seconds we divide what we want to hear and what we want to do from what we'd like to put off till tomorrow. Are we human or what? We're good. We're blessed. We are blessed. I have been hearing the Holy Spirit for several days urge me personally to spend more time receiving a spiritual checkup for my own life. Now, this is kind of scary, because like the medical doctors, my doctor Jesus, my spiritual doctor, will probably be observing things during my spiritual checkup that I'd rather he wouldn't observe. So it's kind of scary to open your heart up and say, okay, Lord, check me out. But if it saves me from heart surgery, maybe it's a good idea. Physical heart surgery is quite painful. And it doesn't just last 30 minutes or 30 days. It's painful. And my desire is that I can come to the place of maturity in my Christian walk where I'll start listening to Dr. Jesus and doing what he recommends. Because I don't want to have a spiritual surgery to make the corrections if it might hurt like the physical surgery did. Am I getting through to anybody? We just love our comfort zone. You know, don't bother me. Don't tell me what to eat. Don't tell me how much to exercise. Don't tell me how many times to get checkups. Don't tell me all this stuff that's good for me, because I want to do what I want to do. This is both physical and spiritual. Do you see the parallels? Let's look at Psalms 139, starting with verse 23. Search me, O God. Search me, O doctor. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or my ways. And in the next verse, and see if there's any wicked way in me or unhealthy way in me, and lead me in the way that's everlasting, the way that will help me live on. This scripture pretty well says it all. But we're going to keep going. The analysis, the prognosis, whatever word they would use, when I get my spiritual checkup, the result is going to be recommendations by my doctor. Right? I have to be careful what I say, because my nurse is here this morning, sitting over here. And she watches me, you know, she checks on me every once in a while. How's your blood pressure? You know, she doesn't let me forget what the doctor told me to do. Thank you, Ann. I need that. I need that encouragement. Are we good? But when I get the recommendations from the doctor, I need my spiritual nurses to be with me, those who pray for me and love me. That's you guys, okay? I need my spiritual nurses to remind me what the doctor said. Amen. And I need to be a spiritual nurse for you and remind you what your doctor has said. And so we're going to read some scriptures this morning that are straight from Dr. Jesus' desk. Okay? It's really important that we apply to our lives the recommendation of the doctor. And one of the things he will probably recommend is certain medications. I had an experience back in March where my dad was passing away, and I went in a whirlwind. I took off for New Mexico to be with him in his last hours. And I forgot my meds that I'd been taking for my heart. And so I was under a family stress situation there, and my dad was passing away. And about the third day without meds, I ended up in an emergency room in Albuquerque. Bottom line, you need your meds. Look at somebody and say, you need your meds. And our spiritual meds come from the Word of God. It is medicine for our soul. It is spiritual medicine. And if you forget for 3 days, you could end up in the emergency room. So maybe we should come up with some bright, wonderful, super revelation. Like, read your Bible every day. A verse a day keeps the doctor away, or something, you know. And a garlic a day keeps everybody away. This is just good preaching. If I do say so myself. In Galatians 5, starting with verse 19, we're going to read this in two different translations. We'll read, is it the New King James first? I think so, yeah. And then we're going to read it in the NLT later. I want it in two different translations because it just kind of opens the subjects here, opens the meaning of the words. And we're going to read down through verse 26. It starts, now the works of the flesh are evident. Wait a minute. Do we really want to read this? Works of the flesh are evident? Well, maybe he's talking to the sinners here. No, I read the whole book of Galatians, and in the first part of the first chapter, it says, this is to the churches. So about the time we're thinking this message is for the sinner or the guy across the street, no, it says it's to the churches. This message is for me. The works of the flesh are evident. Somebody sees this if it's evident, right? And the works of the flesh, which are adultery. Now, if you fit into any of these categories, don't raise your hand. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I have told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God or get to go to heaven and be with grandma. I added some pieces there, some words. But the fruit, now we're going to a different thing here. We went from the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Now, if you see any of these things in your life, you're welcome to hold your hand up. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there's no law. And those who are Christ or those that belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited or provoking one another or envying one another. Now let's do this same passage in the New Living Translation, NLT. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, I'm going to turn this off because it's glaring in my eye. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension and division, envy and drunkenness and wild parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God or go to heaven and live with grandma for eternity. Okay. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or to be jealous of one another. I submit to you, friends, if we would do this according to the letter, you wouldn't need the preacher. And the preacher wouldn't need the preacher. So we're here to remind one another this morning that we need to check up on our lifestyle. Now, it's interesting that as I went down through this line, I allowed myself to do a little self-checking. And, well, this is not in my life. This is not in my life. You know, I haven't murdered anybody. This is not in my life. 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 And as I was going along, I got to a certain thing that had to do with heresies and envy and some of that stuff. And I started visualizing this Christian brother that I know, have known for many years. And I thought, he's doing this. How easy it is sometimes to see someone else's fault and not want to recognize our fault. And I found myself visualizing in my imagination my brother in Christ doing some of the things he shouldn't do. And then all of a sudden I realized I'm judging my brother. And I have been told not to. I want us to look at Galatians 5:17, and then again, we'll do 17, and then we'll do verse 22 here in a minute. The flesh, or works of the flesh, lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And then in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. We have opposites, guys. Opposites. It's like there's two roads. We can follow either road. We can follow the works of the flesh or the works or the desires of the carnal man, carnal person, or we can follow the road of Christ that has the pure and beautiful things in it. Now, if you're a good parent, and everybody is, to all of us good parents, let's keep in mind that we teach our children this, you know, in so many words and so many scenarios of life. We teach our children, don't do the stupid things, don't do the evil things, don't go kill people, you know, no. And then we teach our children, you know, do what's sweet, you know, be kind, be loving, you know, put some joy in your life, you know, We teach our kids right from wrong. Who's teaching us? Who's teaching me right from wrong? Who's teaching you right from wrong? The Word of God. Why is it that we need to be reminded? I'm not sure. Other than maybe we're just not getting it yet. Everybody said, I'm going to get this. You know, we have to lean very heavily on the mercies of God and the fact that He promises us that He will forgive us when we repent. That's good news. But how immature it is to have to repent every 30 minutes over something carnal that it should have been taken out of our life a long time ago. Everybody's just so happy. You're just smiling. You just love this. I do too. I want to have spiritual checkups from the Lord. And I want to do what Dr. Jesus says. I really do. And it's not always easy. You know, I like doing my stuff. I kind of like having my own way. I kind of like sometimes living on the edge. But man, I don't want another heart surgery. I want us to, is our next verse Matthew 7? Let's do that. First five verses, judge not. I was talking about how I spotted some of these carnal things, these works of the flesh in my brother. And Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank? The plank is a big board, okay? You got a speck in your eye there, brother. I can't really see the speck in your eye because I got this board, big board in my eye, two before here, but there's some kind of a speck in. Why do you look? You know, how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye? And look, there's a plank, there's a board, there's a two before in your own eye. Huh? Hypocrite? Oh, Lord Jesus, that hurts. He wasn't talking to sinners here. He's talking to the church. At one time, you know, Peter said some things that Jesus didn't like, and Peter says, get behind me, Satan. And Peter's going, who, me? And here we find, we're seeing all this stuff in our brother's eye, but we've got something in our eye. He says, hypocrite? Hey, I don't like that word, and I don't want to be called hypocrite, so I'm going to make some changes. Got an amen from upstairs, didn't we? There you go. First, remove the plank, the two before, out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Wow. How clear does it have to be? He wants us checking up on ourselves, not to be checking up on our brother or our sister. Amen. I noticed here the works of the flesh. He uses the term works of the flesh, talking about the evil desires that can rise up. And then the opposite is fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, I don't know why he doesn't say works of the flesh and works of the Spirit, but he didn't. He said works of the flesh and fruit of the Spirit. So I said, well, maybe I need to check up on the fruit thing. So I went to John chapter 15, and this is what I found in the first eight verses. Jesus is speaking. If we could have red letter on that, it'd be red for Jesus' words. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father God is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So abide in me. Remember, he is the vine. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, and I'll add, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in Jesus. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Let's go on. We have two more verses on that one? Or is that it? That's it. Thank you, brother. So if I am to bear good fruit, I need to be in Jesus. And I need Jesus in me. Evidently, there's a direct correlation here between being in the vine, in Christ, and bearing the right kind of fruit. If, you know, if we go over that list again, we won't, but if we went over the list again, works of the flesh, the envy and the jealousy and the murder and the adultery and all that stuff. If you recognize something there in your life that needs to be changed, then you need to get over into Jesus and say, Lord, prune out that bad branch, prune out that bad stuff, because I want to bear good fruit for you. Now, I have about 30 grapevines at my house and like 40 apple trees. But speaking of the vine here, every year, usually in January or February, I prune my vines. They'll be running all over from last year's growth. They'll be running all over, a lot of times 12, 15 feet long, either way. And I prune them back to where they're just about my size. And they just get grapes and grapes and more grapes. And then the deer come and they eat them. Don't get me started on that. Bad Bambi. But when the vine is pruned properly, it produces more grapes. And I want my spiritual vine to produce good grapes for Jesus. I really do. So I'm saying, Lord, Dr. Jesus, let's do a checkup on this grape plant and trim off what needs to be trimmed. And help me bear fruit to your glory. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have our opposites show up again, verses 12 through 11, or 8 through 12 or something. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, here we have the fruit of the Spirit again. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You know, it's not hard to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You can go back to Galatians 5 where we started. And he gives us a list of what is unacceptable and what is acceptable. It's not hard to find the answer. It's not hard to find the remedy. It's not hard to find the medicine. It's not hard to go ahead and make your appointment with Dr. Jesus for a checkup, because He's got all the answers to keep you out of the hospital. Amen. Now in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world or the things in the world. Now the word world here is not earth, okay? He wants you to love the earth. But the word world here in direct translation from the original languages is the social world, the social sinful world that we live in. Okay? How many know the social world around us is not good? And we're not to love that social world of sin. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves that world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ooh. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. For the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what happens to him? Would you like to pass away or abide forever? We have a choice here. As the old Pentecostal preacher told me one time, it all boils down to a simple message, turn or burn. Back to what we read out of our text in Galatians chapter 5, it says, those that are doing the desires of the flesh do not inherit the kingdom of God or get to spend eternity with grandma. You know what I'm doing here, don't you, when I talk about grandma? I'm asking the Lord to help me obey my doctor and to help me take my medicine as prescribed. And I find that medicine in the Word of God, which I need to take every single day according to directions. And because I love you as my church family, I encourage you to do the same. Allow yourself to be checked up. Checked up? That doesn't make sense. Allow yourself a good checkup. The Holy Spirit is a kind and gentle doctor. But if we do not do what He says, He can't really help us. Dr. Moles is my heart doctor, and if I go to Dr. Moles and he gives me a prescription, and I say, you know, I don't like that medicine, and the medicine's not really all that bad, but I can't stand the pharmacist. You know, I've just got my reasons, okay? I'm just not going to do this thing. I guess I just wasted my $80 or whatever it cost me to go to the doctor, you know, and get this information. I just wasted that. I think I'll just take an aspirin a day and call it good. Now, that's pretty juvenile. That's pretty stupid. Right? If you're going to spend the money to go to the doctor, do what he says. He knows more about it than you do anyway. And if we're going to open our lives and our hearts up to Dr. Jesus, and he gives us his word of instruction, word of pruning, word of cleansing, word of life change, lifestyle change, then how many ways do we need to put this? Look, guys, let's just read the word and do it. And it's easier said than done. I mean, you know, you can get built up in church and get prayed for and, you know, you get fired up and, you know, you're in a good, clean atmosphere and, you know, it's easy to make good decisions and you know, you're, well, I got it now. I'm just going to live different from then on. You know, I'm going to walk a new walk this week. You need to do that. And then you need to walk the new walk this week. And we can help one another, not by judging one another, but by offering support, by offering prayer. You know, brother, I see you've been, you just seem like you're kind of down this week. Can I pray for you? You know, don't get in his face about the fact that he snuck behind the barn to smoke a cigarette when you weren't looking. I mean, that stuff don't matter. Just, you know, brother, I just feel like I need to pray for you this week. Anything up you want to talk about? If not, you know, I just want to pray for you. We can support one another in this without being judgmental, without being harsh or unfriendly. Huh? I mean, we're all human. We all fall under temptation. And we all need to support one another. Yeah. I can already hear my wife saying about tomorrow, about 5 o'clock, she'll say, have you forgot your sermon? She'll remind me. Guys, we serve such an awesome God. And he's the best doctor. He doesn't miss it. You know, our best doctors in the natural world can actually goof up. They can actually miss diagnosis. They're not perfect. You know, they have a license to practice medicine, and you get to be the guinea pig. But it's the best we've got in that world, so let's, you know, benefit from it and respect it. Amen. But Dr. Jesus never fails. His prognosis is always perfect. His recommended medication is always perfect. He knows every cell in your being spiritually and physically, and he knows what it needs to be healthy. You can trust Dr. Jesus. You can trust him. You know, I shouldn't be getting on my knees saying, Lord, I want to give all this to you, and I want you to, you know, work on me and prune me and help me get rid of the junk out of my life, and Lord, you know. But Lord, there's just a couple of things I was kind of wanting to hang on to. No, I can trust him. What he does for me is good for me, Mitch. What he does for me is good for me. He loves me. He cares about my well-being. He wants me to live a long life. Naturally, he wants me to live a long life. And spiritually, he wants me to live forever. I mean, what doctor have you ever been to that was wanting you to live forever? Huh? How often do you find that doctor? Dr. Jesus said, hey, we're going to give you the kind of medicine, the kind of treatment that's going to help you live forever and ever and ever and ever. You'll live so long, you'll get tired of living. Well, maybe not. But would you grace us with a couple of minutes of your testimony? Would you?
What do you want me to say?
You were given up to die, right?
Yes.
They were getting ready to pull the plug on you, right?
Yes. But what happened was when they went over after a month, they decided, oh, he's dead. He's going to die. So the doctor went in there and disconnected everything. And then he told the girls, you know, my sisters, you got to have to leave for a little while. And they all came back, and they were looking, and I heard a voice in my mind. That's the only voice I heard it. And it said, get up, Paul. And the voice inside, I said, oh, no, I haven't been praying. And he starts laughing. Now, I've learned that God laughs a lot. And he starts laughing. Get up, Paul. It's time for you to get up. And I get up praying to him. And my sisters or whoever, they were like in shock. He's praying to God. And then the doctor that was going to give him my final shot walks in and he just shakes his head, puts the needle back in his pocket and walks out. That's what happened.
Yeah. So can you confirm the statement I just made that you can trust Dr. Jesus?
Yes. Because if you really, it's faith. You have to believe. You don't realize how much God loves you, and because right after that I prayed again. I was stuck in that place up there. It's like a not a hospital, but they keep people who are having problems. I got stuck in another place anyway. So I wanted to know why God laughed, why he laughed a lot, why and I sat down and I started to. Started my prayer. I said, Father, I says, you got to get me out of here. I don't want to be in this environment, this place here. And he goes, he goes, you got four sisters, and he named them out. He says, tell them, and they'll get you out. And then I said, well, what if he starts laughing? He kept laughing. So I said, okay, I'll tell him. So I get up and start walking away, and it just hit me, oh, my God, you spoke to me again. And after that, I believe in miracles. You got to understand that God loves all of you. You see, the girls and the guys, and he sees you as his little babies, his little children. That's what I learned. So when you're praying to God, you're praying to a very high Father who literally loves you. Literally loves you. That's why he laughs. You know, because he's dealing with a little child. That's the way he sees you. So he wants to answer your prayers, but you got to believe, continue to believe that he is going to answer your prayers. He will, like that, answer your prayers. So one of the things that you're teaching, and almost in every, is faith. We have to believe that he truly loves you and everyone in here, men and women, he loves you like your little boys, like your little kids. And this is the way he sees you. And so when I asked him that, he flashed that in my mind. He gave me like a little story. So then I started praying, and all of a sudden he starts telling me what I had to do. And he told me, no, don't. And I said, what if? And he kind of giggles, kind of laughs. So I got up and walked away, and oh my goodness, he was speaking to me again. I heard Joe Osteen and Andrew Womack talk about the same subject. God laughs because he sees you as his little child. And he loves everyone in here, everyone. The women and the men and the children and the older adults. You don't realize how much. When you come to that reality, to that, you're going to realize. That's why he says, faith will come easy. Your prayers will be answered. They don't get answered right away. But they do get answered. And that's what I learned. Anyways, that's all I can say.
Can you imagine? The doctor's ready to give him his final shot. They're going to pull the plug. He's going to die. They've already made the plan. He was already in the special room, if I understand. And Dr. Jesus says, get up, Paul. Come on, time to get up.
When I heard, get up, Paul, I said, oh no, I haven't been praying. And he starts laughing. Get up, Paul. That's what it was.
That's mercy. Amen. He's a merciful God. And you can trust Dr. Jesus, guys. Let's all stand. If it's appropriate, I'd like for you to take someone by the hand. Precious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, sir. Thank you for getting Paul up. Thank you that Paul is with us today because you wanted him up and well. Thank you that he responded to your joyful voice. And Lord, we're picturing you today, Lord, as a doctor. We're picturing you, Lord, as the great physician. And we know, Lord, that not only do our physical bodies need attention, but, Lord, our spiritual person needs attention. Our soul needs to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Our spirit man, our spirit woman, the spirit person within me that has joined with you, Lord. By faith in Jesus, we have joined forces with you in the spiritual realm. But due to the fact that we're still walking in this world and surrounded by temptation, and due to the fact that we still live in the world that we live in, Lord, we see that many times our inner person, the spiritual person inside, gets soiled. And Lord, we want to be clean before you. And Lord, as the scripture said in Psalms, search me, O God, know my heart. Search me, O God, know my ways. And Lord, we're as a congregation today, we're coming before you asking that you would search our hearts and make whatever changes are necessary. And Lord, I ask everybody to take the hand of a loved one or a neighbor. And Lord, this is to remind us to support one another. We're all human. We all make mistakes. And we shouldn't be judging one another, but we need to be lifting one another up in prayer and support. And Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that each and every person here today, that we will make a commitment not only to bear our soul to you, but make a commitment to be on the side of our brother, on the side of our sister, that we can take sides with one another in support, in prayer support and moral support, that we'll speak encouraging words one to another, that we'll encourage one another in the things of God. Lord, we want to thank you for your word and for the instruction that it bears. Lord, your words are so clear. You spell it out so clearly what is right and what is wrong. And Lord, I just pray that we'll make a new commitment today, a new fresh commitment to shun the wrong and do the right. To push back out of our life the wrong and pick up and walk in the right, the goodness. Help us, Lord, to read the word and to do it. In Jesus' precious name. Now, if it's appropriate, say to someone close to you, I'm on your side and I'll pray for you. Amen. Yeah, give somebody a hug and a kiss. Have the best week you ever had, in Jesus' name.